Hey guys, how's it going? Oh man, give yourself a round of applause. Y'all sounded so beautiful. It's so great to worship with you. You're being humble. You don't want to give yourself a round of applause that you deserve. That's okay. That's fine. Hey, Pastor Brian here. Glad to be with you. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rock Church. Thank you for joining us. If you are a friend or relative or family or coworker or your probation officer forced you to be here this weekend, we want to say thank you. We are glad that you would come and hang out with us this weekend. Let's just go ahead and be honest. How many of you guys, by raise of hand, already got all of your Christmas situation presents all in order? Everything's wrapped, everything's paid for, everything's done. Go ahead and be honest. Raise your hand. All right, everybody else, look at them. They're silently judging you. What about the rest of us? How many of you are right now going like, I got a package, dude. It might be in Tibet. It could be in Detroit. No one knows right now. All right, there's grace for all of us. But it's easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of this season, isn't it? I know it's the most wonderful time of year, filled with crippling anxiety and fear that we did enough, that we bought enough, that we're going to make the kids happy enough, we demonstrated our love to our loved ones enough by spending hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of dollars on things for them that they won't give two rips about come December 29th. But how about today, just for a moment, we came to church, why don't we just stop for a little bit to ponder the gift that's already right under our noses? This Noel, as we've been singing, as the title of this series suggests, there's this announcement, there's this proclamation of good news. It's not just about just a baby in a manger that we put on a mantle and we bring out once in a while as a decoration. It's about the coming of a baby who is the Savior, who has been come into this world, who is born to suffer, born to die, born to save and to rescue and redeem and restore a fallen mankind. That's what we sing when we sing the song, Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. You just sang it. We're stating something so profound, I don't want us to miss it, because what we're really saying is this is, listen up, pay attention. This is the opening statement from God on his plan and how he's going to redeem and rescue men and women made in his image. That's me and you. This is more than just a baby. This is God incarnate, like Pastor Bill mentioned 2 weeks ago. God put on flesh to dwell with us. This is the one who would grow up in wisdom and stature, and he would live a perfect life, and he would die this perfect death, and he would rise victoriously to rescue us from sin and from the separation that we have caused between us and the God Most High. That is what we're celebrating on Christmas. When we come to this baby, we find that he was born to save. Just like the song we sing, the many songs we sang today, I want us to unpack some scriptures, look at God's word, and really unpack what this means for us this Christmas season. What does it mean that God has come and Jesus has been born to save? So if you have your Bibles, if you're old school, they look like this. You could go to Luke chapter 2. That's where we'll be with our time today. I would like for us to read these verses together so we could just marvel at this announcement of this Messiah who is coming to the world. And if you don't have your Bible, that's totally fine. I'll have them on the screen. If you would like to follow along, we have a little bulletin. I got the verses here for you as well. But for the next few moments, I would just like to read these verses together. Does that sound good? So this is immediately after Jesus was born in a manger because there was no place for his mother to give birth to this baby. And then we have this right here in Luke chapter 2. We will start in verse 8 and we'll go to verse 14. This is the word of God. Now in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So this is the word of God. 2,000 years ago, God invaded our time, our space, and our history to bring us the Savior that we so desperately need. So if you would, you bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could come here to worship you. We could sing to you. Lord, we thank you for the Christmas season, the gift of Christmas, the gift of you. Father, I pray for all of us in this room, your sons and your daughters, and for our friends who are here listening, that God, right now, you would open up all of our hearts to receive and hear this word. You'd open up our ears. You'd open up our minds, that we would hear from you about what you have done to save us. Lord, I ask that you would use me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, Jesus Christ. You are our rock. You are our redeemer. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are our friend in whom we trust. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. So, I want us to go back to something. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. We just read this. I want you to notice there's three titles for this baby. And each one is pretty impressive, okay? Like, I know, babies being born, that's very impressive. Shout out to mamas. Woo, y'all are awesome. Your babies are so adorable. And when we know you're having a baby, you let everybody know. You're kind of like a CrossFit dude, right? You want to let everybody know that you do CrossFit. When you're having a baby, you let everybody know, the greatest thing ever, I'm having a baby. This little baby girl, this little baby boy is so cute. Look at these pictures. Look at these pictures. Let me post. And it's adorable. Yes, we agree. Babies, fearfully and wonderfully made. They are so awesome. But, no offense, none of your babies have a resume like this. Mama, settle down. Don't throw anything at me yet. Savior, Christ, and Lord. Any of your babies come out of the womb with those titles? I don't think so. This is impressive. Who is this baby? Look at Savior. This is a title that we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. This word simply just means this baby that is born is the one who's going to deliver humanity, rescue humanity from their sin, from their rebellion, from their separation with God. That's who's coming to live a perfect life and die a perfect death to save those who are his. So the title Savior means there's only one who's equipped and able to do it, and that is God, who was put on human flesh, who was born this day, baby born in a manger. Jesus is the Savior. The next title we have for him is Christ. This just means it's a cool word for Messiah, or the anointed word, the anointed one. This is not his last name. So if you were back in the day looking through the phone book, you wanted to call Jesus and ask him a question to like your math problem, you wouldn't find him. That's not his last name. It's a title that refers to the promised one, this Christ, this promised Messiah that is to come. Pastor Josh last week talked about what the Advent meant, that God prophesied and he promised over and over again that this Christ would come into the world, and he did exactly like God promised he would. And in the second Advent, Jesus is coming back, and God has promised he's going to do this, and he's going to do it because he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. That's who this baby is. And last, the Lord. This is the title given to a baby boy born in this manger. This means this baby, this is the Lord. This is the king who's in charge over everything. The planets and the quasars and the birds and the air in your lung, he ordains, he orchestrates all of it. He is supremely the one in charge and ruler of everything. This baby born in a manger. Who is like this? Born this day, the city of David, the Savior, Christ, and Lord. It's pointing us to the heart, really, of why God, this baby Jesus, was born. He's come to solve our biggest problem, this broken relationship that we have with God, which leads us to our first big idea this weekend, is that Christmas is God demonstrating in Jesus that Jesus has come to reconcile us to God. Maybe you're wondering what this even has to do with Christmas, right? I thought this was supposed to be about a sweet little baby. Where's that older guy that always is up here on Christmas time and somebody hands him a baby and he goes, look, where's that? That was last week. I'm sorry you missed it. Jesus reconciles us to God. Why? Because we need to be reconciled to God. The Bible tells us that you and I, we were made to know God and be known by God. We are made in his image, and our hearts know this, and our spirits testify to this, that we know we've been created by a supreme being, God. And it's a truth taught throughout Scripture that you and I have been made to know him, to love him, to enjoy him, to be satisfied and complete in him forever. But something has gone terribly wrong, and it wasn't God. It's on you. It's on me. The Bible tells us that our relationship with God has been severed, and that cause is because of our sin. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, it says, but you, your iniquities, that just means your sins, that means your transgressions, the things that you've said, the things that you've done, the things that you haven't done, the things that you've thought have caused a separation between you and your God. Because of that, God and sinners, you and I need to be reconciled to him. Reconciliation is just a fancy religious word. It just means to be restored. So this thing needs to be fixed. What needs to be fixed and restored is a severed relationship between us and God because of our sin. Here's a bigger problem. That is beyond our capability. We need someone greater to ourselves to fix this problem we've created. Christmas is God declaring, that is exactly what I've come to do. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's talking about everything, the person and work of Jesus Christ, from his birth to his death to his resurrection to his return. He's saying, all of this is from God, who through Christ, there's our word, reconciled us to himself. God does the work. He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Paul says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling. He was fixing this problem that we have with God to himself. God does it. God has come to fix this problem. Christmas is the opening statement from God that Jesus is born to save us. This tiny baby who was born would grow and to live this perfect life and die this perfect death for our sins, and that he would rise for our justification to bridge this gap between you and God. You see, Christmas reminds us that the manger leads us to a cross. And through Christ, we no longer must live separated from God, but we are invited to enjoy him and be restored to him and experience joy and grace. In the great hymn y'all sang today, man, you guys tore it up. One of my favorite hymns, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley, which is a great name if I don't say so myself. But last week, the kiddos were up here. They sang this song. And then this line cut me because I wasn't even paying attention. I was so distracted because they're so cute and they're so fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm not complaining, but I was so distracted by the cuteness, I wasn't even listening to what these little kids were preaching at me. But you guys know the song. You just sang it, right? Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. There's our word. We're preaching when we sing that song. We're declaring the most beautiful truth that in God's infinite love for us, those who have caused a big mess between us and him, he enters into our world. He restores this relationship to us with himself, by himself. And there is nothing in the world as magnificent as this event. There is nothing in this world, no sporting event, no Super Bowl, no royal wedding, no Live Aid, Farm Aid, We Are the World. There is nothing that can compete with the joy and the wonder and the praise and the magnitude of this moment of God coming to dwell with us in the baby Jesus Christ. Nothing. Because nothing in the history of the world can compete what God has done in Christmas. This baby was born to reconcile us to God. And so I bring us back, because we haven't got very far in our text today, my bad. It's worth mentioning, this moment, the greatest event, the manger and the cross, this baby born. You come back to Luke chapter 2 and you look at who the audience is. The greatest moment in the history of our world and space and time is about to be pronounced by these angels to who? It's just these shepherd folk. Just normal, blue-collar, working class guys, gals. Actually, technically, shepherds were less than working class. I think that's very important. I want you to listen here. It begs the question, right? It makes you go, why wouldn't God send these beautiful, awe-inspiring, majestic angels to appear to somebody way more important, people way more significant? Why just these shepherds? Don't you think God wouldn't want to get the attention of some of the more higher-ups, the more supreme and superior folks? Don't you think God would want to get the attention of the more notable people? Why don't you tell about the royalty about this baby? Right? Don't you think you'd tell the kings and the queens and the princes? Why come God didn't tell the religious bigwigs? Where are the scribes? Where are the Pharisees? Where are his priests? Why would God not give this story? Why would he not invite into this moment the most important and impressionable people? And I think there's so much here. But I think it's most simply said this way, and you need to listen to me, is because God is declaring that Christmas means that God cares for all people. The shepherds would be the lower class of society, not very important, rough around the edges. And that may feel like you today. Maybe you feel like that you're just an outsider this evening. Maybe it's because of your past, it's your failures, it's your addictions, it's your struggles, it's your pride. You feel like a second-class citizen walking around. Maybe coming into a church today, you feel like compared to these people, like you just can't even compete with folks like this. I hope you don't believe that. This baby in a manger shouts that Christmas is for you. Jesus could have been born to a king and a queen, but he was born to this ordinary gal and her very ordinary carpenter husband. Jesus could have been laid and placed in a crib made for royalty, but he was placed in a manger made for farm animals to eat out of for everybody to come. Christmas testifies to the entire world that Jesus is the Savior for all people. Paul David Tripp, the man with the most impressive mustache, says this: "In the baby in the manger, God gave us the greatest gift ever, himself. This gift restores what sin had broken and reconciles." There's that word again, huh? Reconciles us to the Father. What an incredible truth this is. Through Jesus, God steps into the brokenness of our life and repairs the damage done between us towards him. Only Jesus, the God-man, fully God, fully man, could ever bridge this gap. But see, here's the thing. This reconciliation, this is just one side of the coin, right? Jesus didn't just come to reconcile what was broken and be like, oh, okay, like a light switch, not a big deal. All right, have a good life. No, he's come to redeem us, to rescue us from the power and the penalty of our sin. This baby in a manger didn't just stay in a manger. He grew up. He lived a perfect life, and he died in our place and rose again so we could experience true freedom from our sin, the power, the condemnation of our sin, the wrath of God for our sin. So our next big idea, Christmas is God declaring to us that Jesus has come to rescue us from our sin. The God of heaven and earth, the God who sustains the air in your lungs at this moment, loves you in such an incredible and passionate and deep way that he came into your world to dwell with you because you matter to him, because you matter to him. God left his throne of eternity to be born as this helpless, vulnerable baby to grow and experience every trial and temptation that you would, to die a horrific death that you should. Why would he ever do that? Because you matter to God. Christmas is the celebration of the arrival of the Savior who has come to seek and save the lost. In Matthew chapter 1, we read it like this: "She, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will," not might, not maybe, now let's see how you, if you can become a good boy or a good girl, No, he will save his people from their sins. People who sin in rebellion, in anger, in pride, in religion, in lusts, in temptations, have separated them from God. Romans chapter 5 says that when we were at our worst, at war with God, enmity, shaking our fists, spitting in the wind, rebelling against God, it says God, when we were at our worst, demonstrated our love for us by dying for us. There's nothing in the world like this. How could we ever speak enough words to explain the kind of love that God has for you? We cannot write enough poems. We could never sing enough songs. We couldn't write enough words. We'd run out of paper and pen before we could adequately explain how amazing this moment is. Jesus was born to demonstrate God's love for you. And we say that so casually, brothers and sisters. God put on flesh. Yeah, yeah, the Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah, yeah, what's the next present? Get it in here. Where's my Amazon package at? We say it all too casually. I want us to stop and ponder what that really means. He will save his people from their sins. Christmas is God declaring that he has come to do something for us that we are incapable to do for ourselves. That is such great news. Because I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and I think you know and I know that we've all got plenty of sin. Nobody's going to say amen to that. That's okay. I'll say it for you. Amen. Testify. Sin is so serious to God. There is nothing that you could do to avoid the judgment, the punishment, the payment due for your sin against God, because the requirement is death. In Romans chapter 6, that's exactly what it says. It says the wages of sin is death. Y'all go to work, y'all make a wage, y'all are working Christmas, and you're working overtime, and they're paying you extra money, and at the end of the week, you're like, where's my money, Lebowski? Give me what I'm worth. Where's my wage? And they hand you a check, and they say, that's what you're worth. That's a wage. God's word says because of our sin, the things that we've done, the things that we don't do, our actions, our thoughts, our words, we're racking up, we're working overtime against a holy God. But come payday, God actually hands us a statement that says, you're bankrupt, you're in debt. I can't pay this. It's too hefty of a fine. You cannot work this out. You cannot come to some sort of settlement. You can't get on some layaway program. There's no charity or cause that you can donate to. There's no community service that'll get you out of this pickle. Nothing. None of those things have the ability to cover your sins. But then there's all these promises that we're looking at. God enters into humanity. This baby is qualified. This baby is able to do exactly what we cannot do. Because Christmas is God declaring that he cares for all people. Christ has come to rescue you from sin. The birth of Jesus is God's merciful response to sinners. We do not deserve this. We do not deserve a merciful hand from God. We don't. But can I tell you what's so amazing about Christmas? I mean, really, truly amazing. When you stop to understand what Christmas actually means, it's God giving his enemies the greatest gift imaginable. How beautiful that is. But I want to warn you, if you're here today, you're joining us, and you would call yourself you're a pretty good guy. You're a pretty good gal. You're pretty religious. You go to church, right? You're definitely not as bad as that guy right there that just walked in, right? Whew. Listen, if that's you, you will not like this. When you live a life working and proving and making sure other people know you're better than certain people, or you're trying to prove to God with your religion or your best works or your good attempts, all these things, I just want you to know if you're doing any of that to earn God's favor, Christmas will never be good news for you. Because Christmas is God proclaiming that you don't have what it takes to reach God. That is why he has come to us. Religion is all about you. Man, what I must do. You keep doing. You try. You go ahead and you try and get yourself. You try to get yourself to an unapproachable God. Good luck. That's religion in a nutshell. And it's very expensive. And it dupes you. Every one of you, it'll dupe you. Christianity, Christmas, is about the unapproachable God coming to you. It's a radical difference. The only hope we have at having any shot at peace with God is if he does that for us, which we cannot do for ourselves. That is what makes Christmas such good news. Listen to this, Francis Schaeffer. This is great. Beautifully, he says this. This incarnation, God becoming man, Jesus being born, the Emmanuel, is the center of our hope. It, God coming into our world, stepping into our world, that is the center of our hope. Not me, not you, not our works, not our religion, not our pride. This God coming to us is the center of our hope. Without it, there is no reconciliation. There's our word. And without reconciliation, there is no peace. No peace with God. But you see, this incarnation, it brings hope. Jesus brings the peace of God. This is the announcement of Christmas. So let us end right back where we began, these Christmas verses, the arrival of our Savior, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. This is what the angels are proclaiming about the Savior that was just born. Remember? Listen to these words. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. We need peace among those with whom he is pleased. You notice peace with God. And God being pleased with us. Jesus did not just come to give us some cute little expensive holiday Hallmark holiday. Jesus did not come to just give us a good example to follow. He came to reconcile sinners to God. He's come to save you, to take your sin, to take your shame, to give you peace. Not a superficial peace, but an eternal, everlasting, one that supernaturally passed. Oh, man, a peace with God, the one who made you. A kind of peace that the world could never provide is being declared on the first Christmas, that peace is now available to you. So here's a big question. Do you have peace with God today? Not peace in your circumstances. Not peace in your finances. Not peace with that buddy I was beefing with on Twitter the other day. Peace with the God who made you, who sent his son to save you. Let's get a little bit more deep. Is God pleased with you? Do you even have the audacity to answer that question? Christian, did you know the answer is yes? Yeah, I can know if God is pleased with me. Yeah, I have peace with God. It's a question we all have to answer. But we have to be careful here. Because if we're not careful, I think we can very easily slip into two, I could probably name more, but two false ways of thinking, both which completely miss the gospel in Christmas, in the good news, in Jesus. This will never be good news for you. One way that you can know for sure that you do not have peace with God and that God is not pleased with you is to live the life of religion and pride. It sounds like this. Oh, yeah, of course God is pleased with me. You know, I go to church. I tithe. I'm a good guy, trying to be better. You know, I'm just striving, just living, doing my best. I'm not like that guy. I'd never do that. So compared to most folks, yeah, I think God's pretty happy with me. Okay. There's no peace with God if that's the life that you live. That is not a life that is pleasing to God. Then there's the second false way, and that's the life of shame and guilt. This is the person that says, man, is God pleased with me? I don't know. Probably not. Doubt it. I've done so many wrong things. Man, maybe if I cleaned myself up, maybe if I started hanging with a new crowd, maybe if I stopped doing that, maybe if I brushed and flossed more, maybe if I went to church more, maybe if I gave more money, then I don't know, maybe God would be pleased with me, but I don't know. Listen, both of those approaches are wrong. Both are awful. 0-2. God will never be pleased with our pride or our religion or our shame or our guilt. He has told us none of those things are what he requires. But Christmas proclaims God is pleased with those who come to this Savior born in the manger. Those who see that this is the Christ is the only one who can reconcile them to God. Those who believe that this is the Lord who rescues his people from their sins and believes it. Those who walk with him in his life, who pick up their cross and follow him to Golgotha. Those who lay down their lives and die with him on the cross. Those who are united and buried with him in death are those who will rise with him and live with him and enjoy him forever. This is a life that is pleasing to God. Do you come to the baby in the manger this way? So I'll ask you again, do you have peace with God? Is God pleased with you? Christian, for us, that's our only hope. Because I believe God is who he says he is, and I believe God has done exactly what he said he would. That's my only hope in this life and the next. That's what makes Christmas so beautiful. The God of heaven and earth has entered into creation to be near to you. That's what we say again with the word Emmanuel. It's a name for Jesus that just means God is with us. God with us means that you matter to God. This is the best news you'll ever hear. But your story will forever be incomplete and empty without him, my friend. If you were in this room and you would not declare, you would not confess, you would not say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, that is my Savior, that is my Christ, that is my friend, you are invited. God is speaking to you today. He is inviting you to the peace that only he can bring, but you must come to Jesus. Will you? I'll give you the opportunity now. How about we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for your appearing. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for this gift of Christmas. Thank you for the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, right now I pray in this moment, in this space, in this room, in this moment in our history, I pray for my friends in this room. If you don't know the Lord in this way today, the one who sustains the breath in your lungs in this moment, I want to proclaim and testify to you right now, my friend, God is shaking you to get your attention this evening. Awake, O sleeper, he says. God is saying, wake up, come and see what I have done. For your sake, God has become man. Christmas means that God cares for you, and he's offering you peace now. So will you come to the Son of God, the one who lived and died for you? The one who offers to ransom and rescue you from the power of your sin. The one who reconciles you to God and brings peace forever. If that is you, you could cry out to God. You could pray right now. You say, Jesus, oh boy, do I need you. Would you rescue me? Would you save me from my sin? I need you. I want this gift, that peace, that reconciliation, that forgiveness. Oh, Jesus, you know the wrong I've done. But I will trust you, and I will follow you, and I thank you for this gift of Christmas. My friend, if that's your prayer today, all I ask is that you would grab a bulletin. There's a bulletin that you were probably handed when you walked in. It looks like this. If you flip it over to the back, if you would do me a favor, just write your name on that, and then your name, your phone number, and email, and you bring that to my buddies over at the Connections booth this evening. It's a little ask. It's a big ask. I'll give you a dollar. Well, I owe you a dollar. But you come to the Connections booth. They will give that to me, and I just want to follow up with you. I just want to have a conversation. I want to talk to you more clearly and personally about what this means to come to Jesus. But as you, grab that bulletin on the back. Just give me a name and a number. I will contact. I would love to talk to you about this. For the rest of us, Jesus, I pray that you would help us to see that this Christmas season is so much more than late packages and eggnog. It's richer than gold. It's about the greatest gift of you, Jesus, the God of heaven and earth, coming to us to live for us, to die for us, to rise for us, to conquer our sin and death and the devil for us, to demonstrate your great love for us, to show us how much we, mankind made in your image, matter to you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the gift of Christmas. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.